Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for watching, as always, on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM, channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Coming up in this hour, Mike Palm on the program in 15 minutes. We'll have You Cannot Be Serious, bottom of the hour. Dive into the NBA, WNBA in 45 minutes. The numbers tonight are, the numbers have moved big time. We'll document that. And a little Major League Baseball to begin. Cubs now, they're down to 1,600 to win the game. That 7-1 lead is gone. It's 7-4 now. Overall, total 12.5, Paulies. They play in the top of the eighth. Was that a three-run shot by Muncy moments ago?
It was, and followed by another base hit.
Okay.
Yep.
And in the Rays game, they're up 3-0. They got three right away, including another home run by Junior Caminero in Colorado against the Rockies. But now I believe Martinez was just yanked.
Was he?
Yeah, he was obviously really good. Staked to a 3-0 lead. But now, they made a move to Wells the way it looks. There are two outs in the bottom of the sixth and runners on the corners for Rumfield and the Rockies.
And the total's only 6.5?
That's in the Rockies game?
Yeah. Yeah, there's too much time left.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Especially in that ballpark. This is if they hold on, they would be 17-5 in his starts. He's been a solid
year. He's been really good.
So it's funny. It's baseball, Susan. Freddie had a 1-2 ERA career in Coors, and Martinez had a career ERA of 7. And he was he had to shut out ball through 5 here. So great story with Tampa.
Yeah, tonight the Pirates and the Brewers play again. Finally, last night, Milwaukee got a win against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had taken 6 out of 7 against the Crew on the season, but they get that win. Logan Henderson, very good again last night. Tonight, it's going to be Kyle Harrison to the mound. Back.
The guy's back.
Yeah, from a trip to the 15-day IL. Rehab start on July 30th. High A, 5 2/3, 0 earned runs, 5 Ks. On the road, a 4.91 ERA in 8 starts versus at home, which is where he's going tonight, with a 1.53 ERA, 11.5 Ks per 9 as well. And there's the American League MVP, Yordan Alvarez, with an RBI double the way.
They
got him.
Oh.
He did not hustle in the second base.
Get a slide.
That's what are you
outrageous.
Doing?
I would sit him. You can't do that. Come on. Oh, that's fasten it.
That is going to piss off a lot of people.
What is he doing?
It's 5-4. He smokes one to the corner. He's not even running full speed. Go stand up to second base to get him. So instead of nobody out, Alvarez on second.
Let's see the jog starts. When does he slow it down?
That's a bad angle. Yeah. Oh, he let up. He let up.
I still think he's in there.
He's safe by a mile.
Oh, horrible job by the ump. He's looking right at it. Oh, he came off?
Does he come off? Does he come off here? Does he hold the tag?
That's a tough call.
Well, we got to get a different angle because he's clearly, if he doesn't come off the base, he's safe by a step and a half there. And was he pushed off the bag? Oh, no, my God. What is that guy looking at? He never came off the bag, Paul.
No.
That's a horrific call by the ump. But the point remains, Alvarez has to get down there.
Yep, frozen.
Okay. Do you want to buy in on Skeens? Going back to the conversation.
This is
there.
Bad. So he's got an ERA of 5 and change last 14 starts. He is one of the worst pitchers in baseball ROI. 6th worst. They've lost 14 of his 23 starts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it begs the question, like Will Hill said, what if they would have the record that they did the last year when he pitched? Look at their record and when he pitches and when he doesn't pitch. Yep. More on that with the Phillies. That'll blow your mind. But I just, like you said earlier in the week, look at the velocity, how it's down. Look, what's happened to the fastball? Where's the gas and the heat? So very hittable, scary numbers, ERA 5 and change last 14. Can't buy in, can't do it. It's been bad for a long stretch, and the fact that they lose most of the time when he pitches now.
Yep.
Completely flipped.
There's also this. So he has allowed 3-plus earned runs in 7 out of 23 starts this year and 4-plus in 6 out of them. His ERA is at 4.56 on the road. They went to replay. Obviously, Houston challenged, and they said he was out during the challenge. What is happening right now? Luke, can you double check? The manager is going to get tossed here for Houston. What are we missing? He's obviously safe at second base. We have to have another angle on this.
They're 10-1 in play to come back.
Oh, my God.
probably retires the next batter.
That is sick.
Uh-oh, 7-6, Cubbies. Bullpen shenanigans, whiskey and a revolver. 7-1 in the eighth. Now it's 7-6. Who went deep?
Hold on. Was that Ohtani again? Because Pajas is up right now. Ohtani homered again.
Yep.
How about the same game parlays with Ohtani 2 and PCA 2?
Son of a gun.
World
Cup.
Ah.
Damn.
Now let me double check the MVP market here. And that there's a shot and it's caught.
Warning track power. Just
left
like
fielder had a jump.
Warning track power.
Okay, let me check. Let me check the NL MVP. Off PCA minus 140 at FanDuel.
I don't know about that.
I don't know either. I don't know about that. What a game today.
This would be a horrible beat if the Cubs can't hang on.
Yeah, no kidding. 7-1.
$4 in play.
Jesus. Okay, so that's the lot happening here, obviously. That's the Pirates-Brewers game. Did you bet it at all?
No.
Okay. Did you bet the Red Sox?
Yes.
Same here.
Come on. 11 in a row against division leaders. 4-0 against the White Sox. Thumped them again last night. Outscored them 29-4. Sonny Gray, 11-1 with a 2.52 last 15 starts. They've won 29-34. As I said earlier, they win tonight. That's 30-35. That hasn't been done in an American League team since Cleveland in 2017. Oh, by the way, the White Sox are trash on the road.
Yep.
And maybe it's too much for Burke with the homecoming, being from Sutton, Massachusetts, and all the fans coming out and just how hot this team is. The one thing that would scare me is usually it's like, hey, guys, save some of those runs for tomorrow. You know, usually when they score 14, they get nothing the next
day. And by the way, Burke's been amazing for the White Sox.
But you can't go against these guys.
I know.
I mean, every game, and not to mention the 15-1 run on the road, but what they've done overall, and then I can't get past the division leader thing to win 11 in a row against division leaders. So, again, it seems cheap again, but they bet them late last night, and they closed 160, and it was over in the first inning.
Yep. That was the first tick that I got when I text you. I think it was 5-0. I'm like, oh, that was with the grand slam. That was quick. Okay, so you also, to me, I can't go against the Tigers tonight, and they're a big dog now. Part of the reason why is because Drew Anderson is going, and I have a lot on him, believe it or not. Because last night I'm looking at some projections at vsin.com, as I do every single day in Major League Baseball, and it's the Opta AI stats. And then you can go through value plays, you can go through the hitters, you can go through pitchers, you can toggle it however you want. And the first one that came up was Drew Anderson at the time, 3+ Ks, because their edge was like 40% on that. They're projecting almost 6 out of this guy tonight. So why is there such a big difference between their numbers and the market overall? Well, here's the deal. He's been pitching mostly the entire year as like a one-inning guy, maybe 1+ out of relief. However, they did bring him in this year as a starter, but they had kind of a logjam. Now the logjam is gone after the deadline. So that goes for Drew Anderson and Jackson Jobe. Their manager, A.J. Hinch, said leading into the series that they're both going to be responsibly stretched out. So there's definitely a gamble in how long he's going to go tonight. The quote here is, those two will be front and center as we navigate it, and we'll continue to mix and match our roster if needed or if we need a fresh arm. We have capable guys at AAA. We'll get creative with how we attack our innings. So Anderson has a 4.24 ERA. He has pitched 63 2/3 innings, and he has 78 strikeouts. Again, pitching mostly in multi-inning roles earlier in the year, and then primarily a one-inning guy over the last month. Hinch's other quote was, like I just said, we signed him as a starter. He's got started in the past, including last year, and he has the weapons to do it. Hopefully a routine will help solidify pitch usage and execution and things like that. So Anderson on the year, overall, his K numbers are awesome. 11+ Ks per nine and a K rate of 28.3%. For some perspective, Jacob Mizorowski is almost at 14 Ks per nine, obviously number one in baseball. Dylan Cease at 13. Gavin Williams is at 11.53. Cam Schlittler, 11.02. That would actually be behind Anderson. The bets that I have tonight are, and I grabbed these late last night, and I added one earlier this morning. I have 3+ at minus 141. I have 4+ at plus 126 and plus 179. I have 5+ at plus 425. And I have 6+ at 11-1 tonight. His outs prop is juiced over 9.5. If you tell me that he's going to somehow get to like four full innings pitched in that neighborhood, then I really like this position with his ladder props for tonight. I don't know if I'm going to play the Tigers plus the money, even though they're blazing hot. Brian Wu is a totally different pitcher at home than he is on the road.
Yep.
On the road, disaster. 1-8 with a 6.71 ERA. At home, 6-0 with an ERA of 2.2. WHIP 0.7, 10 Ks per 9. So he has been like Cy Young good at home.
Right.
Just really flammable on the road.
Yep. I can't believe I'm saying this. I like the Royals. It's been a bad year for Noah Cameron, but the one thing that has gone right is he's been awesome against Minnesota. 2-0 with a 0.47 in three starts against the Twins. He's being opposed by Kramer, who they just acquired. Last four starts, 0-3 with an ERA of 10. He has been awful this year. And Jake Irvin goes for the Nats, 0-5 with an ERA of 6 in his last eight starts. But here's the conundrum. It's Painter for the Phillies. When it's Wheeler, Sanchez, and Lizardo, 46-18. If it's not one of the three, yeah. 15-35 with an ERA of 6 and change.
Yeah, but the Nationals, oh, their lineup is awful now. The injuries, the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying.
Yep. Yeah. But $1.90 with Painter in that one. And how many times is this parlay hit? Bet against the A's and bet on the Red Sox. Circa Survivor documentary heating up. Tonight's episode is the turning point. Week 5 for the first time in history. The number one pick of the week goes out on a Thursday night, and chaos follows. By the times Week 6 through 9 play out, the contenders separate from the pretenders, and the pressure gets real. Almost $19 million on the line. Watch it tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on VSiN. Watch the first two episodes on YouTube right now. Search VSiN Live.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Wednesdays with the Maestro. Mike Palm is the VP of Circa Las Vegas, the Golden Gate, and the D here in the great downtown part of this tremendous city. Joins the program now. How are you, Mike?
Oh, it's like a total eclipse of the sun, the two of you in studio together.
How about that?
How long has this been?
Well, it's only going to be for two more days because I'm
then
out next
out.
Week.
So you're
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Well, some of you stayed in town for the summer. That was nice.
Yeah, I'm staying in town all next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, great. Yeah. You know what? I don't mind the 110.
No. You don't mind it?
No, I got a pool.
Get used to it.
I got a pool to swim in.
Him and the Bash are out in the backyard in the pool all day.
So I tried explaining this to my family in Wisconsin when I did go back a couple of weeks ago, and they can't wrap their heads around it. I told them that there's nothing better than, to me, the sun's going down at night. It's 102. There's a slight breeze. I think it feels absolutely fantastic.
Plus, he just came out of the water. It's cool.
It's amazing.
We do Sunday afternoons now, right? Now with no football, late Sunday afternoon, it's our pool day, barbecue yeah. out. But we don't really start till about 3 o'clock, right? The kids get in the pool because then the house starts blocking the sun about 5:30.
Yeah.
And it starts getting nice in the backyard, right? When you're getting ready to get out and eat.
Yeah, sure.
It's not bad. Also, 5:15 to like 7 in the morning is very nice as
very
well.
Nice.
If you want to get out there and walk, enjoy the dogs.
Sure.
There's a little window in the mornings.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. You are speaking tomorrow at the sports betting conference known as Bet Bash, ongoing, out here. Started last night? Here?
Well, the opening cocktail party yeah. was at Overhang last night.
Okay. So the title is The Challenges of Operating a Casino/Sportsbook. Can you give us a spoiler or two?
Well, I'm going to just make an opening statement for this. This is going to be audience-based, right? The questions. Spanky wanted somebody that could come on and answer questions about the operation side of it. Now, last year, I hosted a similar panel. I was the moderator, and Chris Bennett was the panelist. It was just him. But it was about Think Like a Bookmaker was the title of it. And it got into all his thought processes on how he operates and manages risk and sets lines and moves lines and what customers we want, what customers we don't want, all that kind of thing. And this will be more general about overall casino, although I'm sure there'll be a lot of sports-related questions.
Okay, this happened. I found out about this before the show started. We actually brought this up in the first segment. Mutual friend of ours from the East Coast, just in town. He left. He realized, we got a phone call here. He thought he'd dropped $20,000 out of his backpack. Cash. Got a phone call from Circa Security. This you? Yeah, that's my... You really went $20,000 you left in the safe?
It happens.
How often?
I would say it happens several times a year. Not that amount. but people will leave things in the safe and they just forget about it, right? It's jewelry. Sometimes women leave jewelry. People leave their passport, you know, then they find out I can't get on the plane or whatever. And sometimes it's large amounts of money. That's why you have the safes in the room. So
how does this happen though, in terms of who, like every guest checks out and then.
Well, the maids go in and then the maids have to clear off so that the next person can use the, and they have a reset button on the safe and they make sure it's empty before the next guest can check in and use the safe. And so first the housekeeping staff sees, there's some money in here. Right. And then what they do is immediately contact their manager, who contacts security to come up and inventory it. And then security goes and sees who was the guest in the room and then reaches out to contact them.
Bingo.
Do you think housekeeping reports it 100% of the time? Not I'm not just talking about your properties,
I will tell you that ongoing, there's integrity checks that go on. That we will put something in the room before it's cleaned to see if the housekeeping personnel reports it.
Oh, that is good.
Well, it's very good because we know. Leave chips on the dresser, cash in the safe. They don't report it. Beautiful. They're a thief. That's how you weed out the bad apples, and so that it doesn't happen when it would happen to a guest. You never know who has larceny in their heart. It's hard to tell.
That's incredible. That makes sense, obviously.
Mm-hmm. 20. Okay. Yeah. Very good, Michael.
Paulie said about 7.5-8 times a month. I said multiple times a week as well.
Well, there's probably smaller amounts and smaller things, right? The people forget. They leave full bottles of alcohol they bought in the room. They leave different things.
You've been doing this a long time. What's the golf clubs or higher amount? What's the most outrageous thing left?
That's happened. Golf clubs have been left. I mean, people are hungover when they're leaving, and they they're in a rush. They got to make a flight.
Okay.
Never a pet. That's good. They never left a pet behind. I'm waiting for that day, right?
Leave
a pet behind in the room, but and occasionally large amounts of money.
Do you remember the largest amount?
It was more than this. I will say that.
You leave it at that.
But it was a little over 100. Was left in the safe.
In the safe?
Yeah, a little over 100 was left.
Come on.
Yeah.
So imagine he gets this phone call. He thinks he drops it.
Yeah.
And it's gone. And security calls him. And he knows what his tip's going to be, too. I mean, that's another good. That is found money.
Totally found money.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah.
Totally found money. That's an interesting.
What do you think the tip should be?
Let me frame this.
Sure.
Now, the kid got off the plane. You know, did you ask Derek about the kid that got off the plane and hit the jackpot here last week?
No.
They hit the three-card poker, whatever, the $400-some-thousand jackpot. He'd get off the plane from Oklahoma, was playing 15 minutes, and hits the jackpot that hadn't hit since 2022.
Texas Hold'em?
Yeah.
Oh.
So he hits the jackpot, and his take-home is $357, right? After the tax and all that, he's going to take home $357. What would your tip be on that, Paul? Then we'll go back to this $20,000 question.
Well, he's playing for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
24-year-old kid. Let's put it this way. He had to call his parents to find out what his Social Security number was.
Oh, he didn't tip anything then?
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Once I heard that story, I said they got nothing.
I talked to Joe a couple weeks ago, because...
He left more than nothing, okay? But what would you leave? I have an answer.
Let's put ourselves in his shoes.
Okay.
Where do you think we'd be at mentally, knowing about the whole tipping idea? I probably would not have a good grasp at it at that as a 24-year-old who just got here.
No, he's not used to all of the whole industry and everything like that.
The three-card poker hit here a couple months ago. The gal didn't even know how to play. They had to explain what just transpired, that she hit the jackpot for 20,000?
See, I said I would have, because Joe told me 357 and change was what his take-home was. I said I would have tipped the 17 and change.
Okay.
Right? 5%.
Yeah.
Right? 17, whatever it was, and walked with 340. That's me.
That's a good number. That's good.
We're all in a different spot. Everybody's in a different spot.
Sure. I had minimum 10,000 in my brain, but you could talk me into different numbers or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I would put you under 17.5.
Yeah.
But I put Paul maybe a little over.
How about found money with 20,000?
I don't know how. There's a lot of different arguments.
Security,
it's their job and it's in.
Sure.
How do they split it up?
Good point.
Yeah.
Is it the person that made the call and the person that gives you the money, the person at security, this housekeeper is the first one,
right,
that turned it in?
He said he was going to do 2,000.
Yeah, I think that you can't do less. And maybe people think that's strong, but, you know, that's probably going to get split up 4 or 5 ways anyhow.
Yeah, no, I think 2 dimes, easy.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you when I was working at the Venetian, the story, that I went in the men's room? This is the public men's room, right, in a public area, and I was working the floor there. And I get into a stall, and I look down. There's a wallet there, right? A wallet full of money.
What?
Full.
Full.
Full of money.
Full of money. I finish my business, and I take them. I look. There was a driver's license.
Yeah.
Right? So it was, and I walked it to the security podium, right? They inventoried it. They took all of my details, this and that. They counted, whatever. They said, thanks. Thank you for turning it in. Da, 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 da. I got an email from the security team at the Venetian. It was 3 months later, so it was 90 days from the day I turned it in. It said, no one claimed the wallet. We made best attempts, so as the finder of the wallet, you're entitled to the wallet. I said, well, what do I want with the guy's IDs? They said, no, but you're entitled to the cash.
You're kidding.
That you turned in, because nobody claimed it within 90 days.
Was it still there?
$3,200.
Oh, my God.
So it's finder's
unbelievable.
Keepers.
It was finder's keepers. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
That's a great story.
This is a good tweet from Big Coom on X. Years ago at the Borgata AC, I found $5,000 on the ground waiting near the valet.
Oh.
Guy came back, described it, et cetera. I gave it to him, tipped him $100.
Oh.
You got to tip more than that.
I wouldn't tell the story.
Yeah.
One time I'm playing, this is a more ridiculous story. I'm playing craps at Caesar's Palace, you know, in that old, under the dome there. This is before pandemic when I used to go out and play. Friday night, I'm drinking rum and cokes, playing. Go to the bathroom, come back. It's like 2 hours later. I must have played for 5 hours. Where's my phone? I can't find mine. I'm looking under the table. I'm looking under the... Now I go back. It's like 1:30 in the morning to the same stall I used in a bathroom 75 yards away. And there's the phone sitting on top of the toilet paper. Nobody touched
Nobody
it. Nobody
touched
turned
it.
It was just sitting there.
It's incredible.
Come on.
God,
how many
God.
People went in and out of there on a Friday night at Caesar's?
No kidding.
Ah, maybe the guy will come back. Just leave it there.
That is wild. By the way, were you watching the end of the Astros game? We lost our minds. We've been on the air, so we couldn't tell. What happened with Alvarez there?
I have no idea. I wasn't watching any of it. But I was watching on my phone, tempted to bet Hunter Brown in this game, right? I mean, Tyone's been awful for the Cubs.
Yeah.
They get up 3-0. Next time I look back, they're losing.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, and this is from Touchdown GA on X.
Uh-huh.
Are you kidding me? Alvarez, that was to go over 1.5 total bases as well.
You lost a prop bet on
that? Is that how we lost
what happened?
The prop bet?
What happened?
He slowed down going into second.
You didn't think there was going to be a play on?
Yeah.
He rifled a quick, quote, double to right field.
And jogged.
Didn't slide and started jogging. But he looked safe. So we don't have the audio here, but we're going... Anyway, they called him out. Astros lose. We'll continue.
Finders keepers.
Yeah. Wednesdays with the Maestro coming up. You cannot be serious and follow the money. It's Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Is Follow the Money on
VSEN. We continue here Wednesdays with the Maestro, Mike Palm, VP of Circa Las Vegas. Time now for You Cannot Be Serious.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
First of all, I want to thank all the folks for great feedback. Mitch was here. You weren't last week, Paul. We did a non-sports You Cannot Be Serious. A lot of letters, a lot of emails, texts, direct messages. I ran into 4 or 5 people in the course of the last 7 days that have stopped me that mention it. So thank you for listening, and thank you for being supportive. So we're back to sports. I mean, and if you wanted to, I could do both segments. I could do 20 minutes on the WNBA, and You Cannot Be Serious. But let's just do a quick highlight reel for number one. How about you have a owner of a team, Celeste Keaton, who married it. Have you ever seen the 5 owners of the Seattle Storm? They're all in the same demographic. It looks like the Golden Girls in a certain demographic. But
great show.
Attacks those... Oh. Spaghetti was unbelievable. Attacked 16-year-old girls. Are you effing insane? Hope Jesus forgives you. The WNBA has to suspend her 5 games because there's no freedom of speech if it's not the speech that they want. Now, I'm going to fast forward because I need to do this in chronological synchrony. When you're talking about the world of sports, obviously one of the most dominating stories is sports gambling, right? And the perils of sports gambling and how it's affected different lives and different people being involved in gambling. The latest was the director of scouting for the Arizona Cardinals who tipped off people they were going to pick Jeremiah Love. And they were, I mean, it goes on and on and on. We have the WNBA themselves. The WNBA themselves posted this video of Angel Reese and Paige Bueckers last Wednesday.
At All-Star Weekend, you and Angel made a bet with each other on this game. Is that bet still?
This is how the rich stay rich.
You gotta save this money. I'm gonna see you next week on Wednesday.
Yeah.
At night?
No, at practice.
Oh, at practice?
I mean, I know y'all gonna lose, but if y'all lose,
I get to have that.
If y'all win, you get it 400.
I get 400.
And if we lose, then you get.
No, you owe me 400.
But I'm saving it.
So that video was taken on Friday of the weekend before in All-Star Weekend in Chicago. They were on the same team, and this was before one of their practices for WNBA for Team Coop, right? They were going to play their first game after the break, Wings at Atlanta, or the other way around, Atlanta at the Wings. But they bet 400 on the game. Whoever wins owes 400 to the other one. It was a ridiculous game, Paul. I don't know if you followed it. There was the 5-point play.
The dumbest call of it was terrible.
It's awful. Worst call of it. Gotcha. It's so awful. Gotcha. He challenged it because she didn't even hit her arm, and it ended up being a 5-point up 4 with 18 seconds to go. Anyhow, I digress. The WNBA posts this. Of course, the world goes nuts. Are these girls going to get suspended? Are they going to get lifetime bans? We missed the mark. That's what they said, the WNBA. They took it off of their social media, the WNBA, and issued a statement. It's incredible. While the social media post was intended to be lighthearted, WNBA players are well aware of the league's policy prohibiting betting on WNBA games and receive training every year reinforcing those policies. We recognize that this post missed the mark. We will use this as an opportunity to reemphasize the players involved in conversations about wagering on the WNBA games, even when intended as a joke and have negative consequences.
Lighthearted, but they deleted it. Sure.
They cannot get out of their own way.
No.
It's always something with this league.
My final thing, Paul, is this. I took umbrage that I could not get a WNBA press credential to cover the All-Star Weekend. The score put in for it.
Yeah.
Number 2 radio station in the whole market, right? And the 3rd biggest market in the city. You're having the game there. No press credential. And they say he doesn't have a long-term history of covering the league, written articles. They don't want a free press, Mitch. What they want are advocates only.
Yeah, right.
I started looking at the ACES games, the press conferences. Who are these here? They're, you know, when the person identifies themselves to ask the questions, you've never heard of the outlet. Her Sports. She Belonged. This. I mean, it's unbelievable. I just want to talk about the press conference after their game against the Liberty last Thursday. It was a great game. Back and forth. It's the game where Asia lost the ball out of bounds, yep, and the refs gave him back the ball. We're up 3 with 15 seconds to go. It's nobody touched the ball. They didn't have a challenge. Anyhow, so now it's the New York Liberty turn for the press conference, right? It's the coach Chris, and it's Stewie, and it's the girl from France, right? Paula Astier. Who's undrafted and has been terrific for the Liberty. The first question is from this lady, Jasmine, from some podcast here in Las Vegas. And she asked Paul Astier, how are you able to have such an impact on the game coming off the bench? To which Breanna Stewart had to say she started the last 14 games. And the coach said, well, I guess she was on the bench at some point.
Oh, boy.
Wait, it gets better. Do you know that 4 minutes of the press conference goes to people in the room, and then the back 4 minutes goes to people on Zoom to ask questions? Paul, you can't believe this. So the first lady on Zoom says to the coach, why didn't Sabrina field goal in the fourth quarter? He said, what? She said, why didn't she field goal in the fourth quarter? He said, you mean attempt a field goal? She said, yes. He said she shot 3 times in the fourth quarter. I mean, they don't even watch the games. Half of them are on Zoom.
Oh.
This is the press credit. JBT couldn't get one for the Aces game. You know what the application is? You have to click a link to 3 articles you've written on the WNBA in the last 14 days in order to be considered for a press credential. All in all, it's to say, WNBA!
You cannot be serious!
How about the case of Kevin Mays? Have you followed this, Mitch? Kevin Mays is a basketball player who played for Cal State Bakersfield, CSUB. He then, after he played, became involved in their coaching staff. He was a player development guy. But for the last 6 years, from 2020 to 2025, he was assistant coach on the men's basketball team at Cal State Bakersfield. All right. In August of 2025, head coach Rick Barnes received an anonymous tip that Kevin Mays was, quote, running broads. In other words, he was involved in a pimping ring, a prostitution ring, where he was a pimp for different women. So the coach reported this to the administration and then the police. The police in September raided the guy's home. Okay. They found 28 instances of sexual contact with minors on video. They found high-powered weapons in his home, high-capacity magazines, and drugs. So the whole thing winds up that he had this girl that he was running in Oregon, California, and Nevada. And they did a sting operation in a hotel in Sacramento is how they busted him. He originally was facing 11 felony charges. He pleaded guilty in June to 4 of them and was sentenced to 4 years in prison. The head coach had to resign, and Rod Barnes, and the athletic director, Kyle Condor, also had to resign. Cal State Bakersfield.
You cannot be serious.
And this might be the best of all, but I saved it for. How about
this buffoon Bader? This is ridiculous.
How about this buffoon Harrison Bader?
Come on.
They signed him 2 years, $20.5 million to the Giants. He's been out since May 29th with a left foot plantar fasciitis. So how about what happened Saturday night in San Francisco? He was out on the town, bar hopping in the Marina District. The last place he came out of, the last bar, is the Balboa Cafe. Guess who owns that? You know who owns the Balboa Cafe? Gavin Newsom, governor of California, owns the Balboa Cafe. This drunk Bader gets on his motor scooter and crashes it into the back of a San Francisco fire truck. He hits the truck. The truck rolled backwards over his left foot. The Giants have suspended him without pay. You say, poor guy made one mistake. How about in 2014 when he played for the Florida Gators? He was suspended the last 31 games of the season for drunkenly crashing his motor scooter into a parked car. Harrison Bader.
You cannot be serious.
That's hell of a 1-2 combo there.
You can't make this stuff.
I think you got to pay him, though, because he wasn't going to come back and play anyways. Right?
Well, it's Major League Baseball, so they're going to have to.
I don't think they have a case.
You guys ever been on a scooter?
No.
No.
They're fun.
No. Are they?
Oh, yes.
Segway. Have you ever been on a Segway? They are fun.
Yeah.
How about honorable mention? Because I know you, for years, were in poker. What the World Series of Poker final table's doing with the schedule. Poker players are outraged. Well, they play the main event. They get down to the final table. They take 3 weeks off. Monday they go from, and it's on ESPN. They go from 9 down to 7. They play all night, only 2 eliminations. Last night, they go from 7 down to 2. They're playing heads up for the $10 million tonight at 1 a.m. East Coast time start.
Well, they just have so much programming on ESPN.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Why? What's the explanation?
Did you like it better when they would come back in November?
That was worse.
Yeah, just play through. Yeah. Everybody's in a zone. You're reading your opponents, right? Everybody that got there has played exceptionally for over a week.
This is dumb. You go from wind down to 2, and then you go heads up, and you're starting in at 1 a.m. on the East Coast.
Well, why even for them on their body clock at 10 p.m. here? That's stupid.
Sure.
Come on.
Do you like anything tonight? Baseball, WNBA, anything like that?
You know, I made one play tonight and one play tomorrow. I like the first four in the White Sox, Red Sox, under 4 even money tonight. Burke has been incredible.
Oh,
he's by far been their best pitcher for 2 months now. And I don't know if the Red Sox love or lose again. Small market Sonny goes for them tonight. And then I love the Aces on a pick on the road tomorrow in the Malinsky Fever after the long road trip and the All-Star break coming
up. Love them.
Love them. Pick them.
Total?
Pick them. You can't make totals high enough.
No, you can't.
They've decided to play every game in the W like it was the All-Star game.
That's a strong A right there.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you. Have good luck with the speech tomorrow.
Thank you. Hope you can enjoy.
Fat Bash. We'll get into the NBA from a betting perspective and go over these crazy totals coming up next. All right, from a betting perspective, the WNBA certainly is intriguing. All tickets cashed is the same. We can go over the 4-game slate that we have tonight.
Sick.
How the numbers have moved overall.
He's right. They can't put the numbers high enough. Like Mike said, 25-8 run, betting every game over, 43-15 overrun, no Golden State because they're defensive-minded.
Right. So you brought up, he said that as he was leaving in that previous segment, loves the Aces tomorrow. Malinsky special for the Fever. Earlier today, Caesars had 196 for the total, highest anywhere.
Yep.
196.
Six straight. The Fever have scored at least 100.
That is, and they're favored by a point and a half. I might have to take the Aces in that game as well. You want to, you could, well, you're not going to get much bang for your buck on this, but you could parlay both teams to score 100 plus points in this game. It's going to be a track meet. I
Who
mean,
offers that?
I think that, well, I'll shop around. I think
400?
That you can.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Because it's been a hell of a run in this league. That's a fun bet.
For sure. So the Liberty tonight are taking on Seattle. They just played a couple of nights ago.
Yeah,
this total
beat.
Earlier today was, well, yeah, you had that one, right?
Yeah, it died in the fourth quarter.
So this is up a tick, the total, 182.5 to 183.5. If you go back and look since June 30th, the points I'm talking about now, just the Liberty's team total for tonight, the amount of points that they have scored, the median is 94.5. Like, some of these scores were 113, 99, twice, 95. There's another 94 in there. They had a couple of games like with 77, and that was a low watermark. There's an 88 in there. But the team total tonight, this is what I wanted to focus on, is 96.5. I was hoping that it would be somewhere, the total would be low enough overall where the number would be like 91.5. It's not. So I don't think I'm going to bet 96.5. Again, this was 182.5 two nights ago. It did somehow stay under because that fourth quarter died. They had played 8 straight overs before that with totals between 173.5 and 182.5 tonight, Paulie.
So they had a seven of their last 8 have gone over and 10 of 12, but then how that game died, how that played out,
sure.
That was tough. But, you know, the first quarter, you're looking at a big number, too, in the first half. 6 straight games, they've scored at least 90. I think it'll be all Liberty here from an offensive standpoint. And laying 8.5, I think they can cover that as well. And Sabrina's been excellent for the Liberty, and she's gone off as well. But the one concern here is that it's a blowout, and they have a comfortable lead, just how it played out the last time. But they should get whatever they want offensively. I am really buying in to this Chicago Sky team. And the problem is, it was a young team that couldn't win games. They finally won a close game the other night against Las Vegas when Taylor hit the 3 from the parking lot to get them the win. They're taking money. I agree with it. It's up to 3.5. The last game, they were up 7 with 3 minutes and blew the game. And lost by 5 to Phoenix. They lost by 2. They lost by 1. They lost by 5. They lost by 1. They lost by 1. It's like this coach is losing his mind with all the close losses. Carrington has come back. She's aggressive. She attacks the basket. And I wouldn't put you off the over here as well. But I also think we're getting away from us now. Minus 150 on the money line. But I think the Sky win as they are playing good ball. And they're trying to find a way to win. But Carrington has been a nice addition coming back off the injury.
Well, the market is telling us right now that sportsbooks, in fact, did make this total too high. It was 189.5 earlier today.
And LA doesn't guard anybody, and the Sky are up-tempo.
That's down 3 full points to 186.5 right now. The median combined score for Chicago's game since July 10th, they played in some doozies, but it's 185, so that'd be below this one. LA's scores since July 8th have been, 222, 207. Ooh. There's a 193 in there. Their median score is 189. LA has played 2 straight overs with totals of 182.5 versus New York and 185.5 against Portland. They did play, here's the thing, they played 3 straight unders before that, but before that under run, they had 4 straight overs, 8 and 9, and that goes back to June 17th against Minnesota. So if you go back a good more than a month and a half now, they have been on a serious overrun overall. I think you mentioned this, but Chicago 7-2 over last 9.
Bam.
Every total, either high 170s or low 180s. This one now down to 186.5 from 189.5, like I said the other night, or earlier today, I should say.
I like the Sky to win. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the other game would be Phoenix and Atlanta. Atlanta now up to 6.5 at DK, total from 181.5 to 182.5.
6-1 overrun for the Dream.
Mercury on Monday at Chicago, they won 106 to 101. Cooper had 31 and 4 threes. Thomas had 19, 15, and 12.
Yeah.
Plum had 20 in 21 minutes.
First game back, yep. They're intriguing. What went wrong with them? They went to the final last year.
I know they did.
They're 12 and 19, but they can score now, and the addition of Plum is huge. She had 20 off the bench in her first game back from an injury. So I think a lot of point, and Angel Reese has been awesome.
Yeah.
Offensively for the Dream as well. I think their points total is too low.
And by the way, they have been adjusting the Phoenix totals lately. So if you go back and look at their game log, I'll go back 7-8 games. We're talking about totals 169.5, 162.5, 164.5, then up to 176.5, and then 179.5. They've still played three straight overs with those adjusted totals overall. Atlanta, they had a game in which their total was recently 162.5 against Golden State. That's because Golden State is the one team that right. does, as you've documented.
Right.
That was on July 4th, and that did go over, actually. If I were to play any over tonight, I think this would be the game.
Yep.
Phoenix and Atlanta.
Yep. And it's funny how Dallas was so high scoring, but now they're playing some unders.
Well, look at this number tonight now.
Yeah, and now Dallas favored on the Mystics are good. They are currently the 8th seed. They're 16-12, and they have a 5-game lead over L.A. But Dallas now favored 19-11, and they've won on the season. They've won 7-10, and they took money in this game against the Mystics, who have been playing well.
Yeah. Do you think, because the Miles MVP numbers on Sunday after they beat the Fever, and she was so good, she was like third or fourth shot. It went Asia odds on.
Well, it's an interesting.
Caitlin made a serious move.
Yeah, sorry. It's an interesting discussion. Like, are you going to give it to her every year? We know she's the best player, but is she going to win right. the MVP every year? Or are you really going to give it to a rookie? I want to see what their record is, though, at the end of the season. They won 10 in a row,
right.
and they're 25-6. But for a rookie to come in and do this is
staggering.
Yes, but if Asia keeps putting up these 32-10 games,
right.
I just think she's $5, and rightfully so, and she's going to win it. But
I wonder if MVP voters will actually say the Lynx actually are better this year, and it's been, until now, it's been all without yeah. Nafisa Collier.
Well, we've seen it. I mean, they gave it to Karl Malone that year over Jordan.
Yeah.
He was livid.
Well, this is but the WNBA, as Mike pointed out, with the voters, good luck trying. And yeah. Doug Kazarian could, and he has ranted against them for hours. Because he still says that Alyssa Thomas should have won the MVP. Now, he won a ton of money to that, but it was like just disgusting how the voters would,
mm-hmm.
and there was like no accountability for what they did by not giving it to her that year. So this would be what, number 5 overall for Asia?
Is that what it would be?
I think it would be her 5th. Man. Yeah.
Did you have thoughts on the Dallas total?
This move has moved now from 165 up to 167.5.
Yeah. Dallas is up tempo.
168.5 now.
Okay. If you want to play the whole card over, it's been winning for weeks. Tuesday 5-0. Wednesday 2-1. Thursday 2-1. 1-1. 3 of 4 went over. 3 of 4 on Sunday. Right?
Well, you
blindly betting overs, you're on a 25-8 run. That's every game, 25-8 run.
So you could do a round robin then. Right?
You could do that too. But again, these are getting like the other thing. Even these first quarters and first halves are sky high as well.
Oh, yeah. Because
you're going to get like 50-45 at the half.
That's right. These games are getting to point totals in the 90s or even they're clearing 100.
Yeah. Yeah. New York led Seattle 50-43 at the half on the last game, and then they only combined for 32 in the fourth quarter.
Maybe that's better approach because they could die. Could be a blow. That Minnesota-Indiana game, I think it was like 62-56 at halftime on Sunday.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was. I'm not sure Dallas should be favored.
Okay.
I mean, Washington's been good, but I think the Sky have figured it out. And Phoenix is fun to watch now with Plum and so many people, those gals can score. And Atlanta will run with them as well. The big man's back, cashing out with Dustin. Sweetelson starts Sunday. Once the primetime games wrap, the real breakdown just getting started. Best bets, key angles, home run props, real conversation, no fluff. Watch Cashing Out this Sunday, 10 Eastern, then weeknights at 11 right here on VSiN.
Dustin is a great nightcap for the network.
Yeah,
does a tremendous job, puts a ton of time, obviously, into the shows that he does. You know, he's getting married in April.
Okay.
And the fiance is asking him, like, do you always have to be around your phone? And he admitted, he's like, I'm probably on my phone a little bit too much, but he also is trying to explain. He's like, you know, I need to, people think that we just come in here, turn on our mics. There's a lot of time that goes into it before you're on the air. He's doing a solo job 3 hours a night. He's who knows how many hours.
It.
Yeah, right.
Yep. I know. I had that problem with the ex-fiance.
Yeah.
We got to watch the games now, too.
Okay. It's kind of a big deal.
I don't think this is going to work, even though I miss out on the $12 million, but.
Follow the money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I don't know why the Rams would do this in week 1 in Australia.
Bam!